Let us read a prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we are thanking and praising you for giving us one more opportunity to come together in this manner. Our believers are, some people are for vacation, and some of them are traveling, and some of them are weak and feeling ill. So please protect them wherever they are. We are few in numbers, but God with us. Thank you for your kindness and mercy. Let us meditate your word. Give me the strength and wisdom to speak out. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. When I was sitting here, my thoughts gone very badly, because 2 weeks ago we heard that we got 60 families in this church for the Wednesday meeting. We can count it with our fingers. That is so sad. I never seen anywhere like this. Not because of I am speaking, so many people should be there. I won't believe that. But those who are healthy, those who are Christians, those who are breaking the bread on Sunday, those who are feeling well, they purposely neglect this meeting and sitting at home and walking through the road. That is not good. I don't want to go for more. Please bear it in your minds, and next time, if God willing you, please come and join with this meeting. This is just for a meditation for somebody. This is for a prayer meeting. Our church strength is showing in our prayer meeting. Where somebody else come from outside and looking at this. This is a prayer meeting on Wednesday of Christians. They will ask, how many families are here? 10 families? Or 9 families? Something like that. So that's my burden in my mind. That's why I spoke out. Please forgive me if it is bad or wrong. Let us read the portion from Proverbs 24. Before we are going to the verse by verse, let me tell something. Solomon is credited with the Proverbs chapters 1 to 29. Of this book. Chapter 1 to 24 may have been written down during his reign, while chapters 25 and 29 contain Solomon's proverbs collected later by King Hezekiah. The final two chapters are credited to Agur and Lemuel, about whom we know nothing. According to the proverbs, you became wise when you apply God's principles to your practical decision making. And when you do, you can live life the way God meant it to be lived. If you will use the wisdom of Proverbs as you make future decisions, then it will save you time, grief, regrets, and even money, so that you can experience the benefits of kingdom living here and now. So chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. Do not be envious to evil men, nor desire to be with them, For their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. Choosing your friends will lead us down either the wise or the foolish path. Relationships are critical of our walks with God. The people in our lives can encourage wise kingdom living or be a stumbling block to it. Solomon is thus very straightforward on this matter. Do not envy the evil or desire to be with them, for their hearts plans violence and their words stir up troubles. Though righteous and the wicked have two very different futures set out for them. So we can't expect to hang out with evil people without suffering the consequences. So verse 3 and 4. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The family was God's idea and the invention of he knows how it ought to function. If your family built up on wisdom, understanding and knowledge, your home will be filled with beautiful treasures regardless of your income. Such a family is prepared to extend God's kingdom rule into the world. Verse 5 and 6, a wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. 5 and 6 verses, wisdom and wise counsel are associated with the strength. We all need to seek advice from wise and trustworthy people. That is good for our future and life. Verse 7 is, wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gates. At the city gate, leaders gather to discuss important matters. The fool has nothing to offer and no one wants to hear from him. Thus, he has no business there. 8 and 9, he who plots to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination of man to man. A good reputation can't be purchased. The one who plots evil and mocks wisdom is known by his deeds. 11 and 12. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? To love your neighbor does not merely mean to avoid doing him harm. It means to intentionally do him good, especially when he is in distress or danger. God's people are called to rescue being led to death and slaughter. God will repay a person according to his work. So do what you can to help fight such wickedness and love those around you. Verse 13 and 14. My son, eat honey because it is good, and a honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul, if you have found it. There is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. God doesn't command us to become wise simply because it is the right thing to do. Just as people eat honey because it is sweet, so we should choose wisely the life because doing so brings pleasure. Doing so brings pleasure. 15 and 16, do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. Verse 16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. The foolish and wicked are stumbling through life without hope. God's people stumble too. He helps them up. Righteous persons have a redeemer. He wants all us to fall down forever. 79 and 18. Do not rejoice when your enemies fall, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. In other words, as Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who are persecuting you. Matthew chapter 5, 44. So we read so many times that verses, please remember that one. Humanly speaking, sometimes our enemies, those who are hurt us, and when they are going through some problems, our mind will enjoy sometimes. That is wrong. According to the word of God, that is wrong. That we are compelled to pray for them to rescue from that position. And God will give us the grace for that. And verse 19 and 20. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospects for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. When we see evil people prosper, we are tempted to envy them. The lamp of the wicked will be put out when he is need. Verse 21 and 22, my son, fear the Lord and the King. Do not associate with those who give to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly and who knows the ruins those two can bring. This proverb relates most fully to the Davidic king, who were God's regents on earth. One way the ancient Israelites could show respect for God would be to respect king. But the duty to honor civil authority still applies to all people of all times. Romans chapter 13, verse, we read that too. And verse 23 and 24, these things also belongs to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, him the people will curse, nations will abhor it. 24, since God does not show partiality, neither should we. Nowadays we can see pure judgment. Those who are famous and influential, they will get support even from the judge. And chapter 25 and 26, but those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. A kiss on the lip was a sign of true friendship. Giving an honest answer, making sure your words match reality, is an act of kindness and love. Verse 27, prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterwards build your house. We should carry out work in its proper order. If a farmer build his house in the spring, he will miss the planting season and go a year without food. 28-29, do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, for would you deceive with your lips? Do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Avenging the evil done by one's neighbor by offering false witness against him is forbidden. Revenge is the way the world operates, but it is not God's way. Verse 30 to 34, laziness has no place among God's people. If you want to eat, you have to work. Protected stone's wall was broken down. Still there is no change in his behavior. Thorns also appear in his life, but he is too lazy to remove them. Wise people's advice do not forget. So many times my mom advised me, but I never thought that is from the Proverbs. In chapter 25, verse 70, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, let he become weary of you and hate you. My mom told me, don't go every time to your friend's house, so they will not happy with that one. I never thought that this is from the Bible. After sometimes I read this Bible, then I understand this is the word she quoted from the Proverbs 25 verse 70. My father also sometimes told me like that, because I have a friend, neighbor, very neighbor. We are studying together, but most of the time I will be at home, in his home. So many times my mom and father want for that. Thank God that is in the Bible. Then after sometimes I read this. So I didn't correct my children like that, because they are not going like that. Thank you. Thanks God for that. When I was in India last month, I was seeing a magazine, the cover page, the back side of the cover page. I read an advertisement from a Hindu doctor and his clinic and his practice and everything which is written. But above the top of that advertisement, that I have seen this in the big letters, doctor treat, God heal. I was looking at that letter nearly 5 minutes, because one Hindu doctor is believing in God. He's a doctor, he's an efficient doctor, one of the well-known doctor in Kerala. But he said, God, doctor treats, God heals. We are coming here to ask God for our neighbors, our church members, those who are sick and going through problems and calamities. Dear brothers and sisters, my words are not enough. I am not able to give you more than this. For only one thing, we can pray together. Our church strength is in our prayer meeting. So let us hold on that and let us pray before God, and God will answer our prayers. Let his name be glorified.